hit the road. Now, I don't know about you, but I love a road trip. I don't care if I'm driving alone or with friends and family. Give me the open road, a great playlist, and some snacks, and I am good to go. Now, this has not always been the case. I remember my first cross-country road trip. My sisters, nieces, nephew, and I were driving home to Arkansas just after the Christmas holidays. We had made all of the suggested preparations for the road. Music, check. Snacks, check. Activities for the kids, check, check, check. Shifts for driving, check. And maps, check. This cross-country road trip predates GPS devices and smartphones, and so we were relegated to the good old-fashioned road map. Some of you may remember the Rand McNally Road Atlas. We don't see them too often anymore because now we have, I see someone still uses them, not me, because I have a story about this map. I use my GPS now on my phone, but back then on my first road trip, I had to open up the Atlas. We had it all covered. We had everything that we needed for this road trip, except one thing. We did not realize that the person sitting shotgun, that is the seat next to the driver, the second most important position in the vehicle while on a road trip, needed to be able to distinguish between interstate and U.S. highway signs. We found out the hard way that Interstate 40 and US 40 are not interchangeable, and that if you stay on US 40, you will miss Arkansas entirely. Because we had not properly read and understood the map, we found ourselves in a snowstorm in the middle of the night in Ohio, rather than en route along the eastern seaboard to our Arkansas destination. It would be dishonest of me to suggest that there were not a whole lot of finger pointing and arguing over who was responsible for getting us lost and off course. But at one point, we finally had to pull over. We finally had to admit that we were going in the wrong direction. So we pulled over at a rest stop, and we were able to ask a couple of the other late night travelers exactly where we were. And then, once we found out we were, in fact, in Ohio, we were able to go back to the map and get back on course to our destination. What was supposed to be an easy 21-hour straightforward trip, Interstate 95 South to Interstate 81 South to Interstate 40 West, to Interstate 540, and then on into Fort Smith, turned into a fear-filled, anger-inducing, and humbling 30-plus-hour experience. Though not en route to visit their parents' house, the disciples were familiar with the challenges that accompanied following Jesus on the road. In our text for this morning, they are only a few days past the crisis and chaos of Jesus' passion and death. They had seen their friend and rabbi mocked, beaten, and crucified. Though they had experienced the joy of the resurrection, they also understood that without Jesus there to guide them in the flesh, their course would be uncertain. But even in the face of uncertainty, Jesus met them in their fear and gave them one final instruction. We know it as the Great Commission, but for the disciples on that Palestinian mountainside, it was an invitation to hit the road. Just like anyone experienced in hitting the road, Jesus did not leave the disciples with directive alone. Jesus knew that the way would not always be clear. He knew that the streets would sometimes be treacherous, and he knew that the road would not always be easy. So he sent them out with power, purpose, and presence. Jesus sent them with power. Before he even tells them to go, he says, "All authority on heaven and earth is given to me." And it's important to remember Jesus' power because they will have doubts about what he is sending them to do. Matthew records that when the 11 saw him, they worshiped. But in verse 17, some doubted. Matthew doesn't distinguish between who worshiped and who doubted, which suggests that some of the same people who worshiped also doubted. You might know a little something about that. Jesus doesn't fuss at them or at us for doubting. Instead, verse 18 says, Jesus came to them. Now, this might sound out of place and peculiar because the disciples are already in Jesus' presence on the mountain. But this suggests that Jesus came even closer to them. And this phrase, "Jesus came to them," is noteworthy because there's only one other instance in Matthew's gospel where it's recorded. And it is only in that passage and all other passages the disciples typically move closer to Jesus. But here, in this passage, Jesus moves closer to them. I believe that Jesus comes close to them to offer them both reassurance and power. Closeness between loved ones can provide a sense of security. Newborn babies need closeness as a part of their physical and emotional development. One of the things that we find in hospitals is that when babies are born and they do not have parents who can offer that they call in people to offer contact, close holding, and comforting, so that the child can attach to another human being early, so that the child will know the safety and security that they felt in their womb when they were physically connected to their mother can remain even outside of the womb. Body language experts speculate on the closeness of people based on their proximity and body language. They surmise that the closer people stand and sit next to each other, the closer they are emotionally and spiritually to each other. So when we see bunches of families sitting close together with a wide berth of space between them and someone who is not in their family, we say, "Oh, they know each other. Oh, they're together. Oh, they're close," because their proximity lets us know about their relationship. Nearness often suggests closeness. And here Jesus comes close to them to offer them the extra security and assurance that they needed. Jesus reminds them that they do not go out into the world making disciples in their own power, but in the power and authority that was given to him. I imagine that part of the reason that Jesus came close to them was so that some of his power might emanate from him and attach itself to them. Oh, my shoulders shake when I think about the power that we have in Jesus. I think we sometimes forget about how powerful we are. Sometimes we allow the fears and dangers of this world to convince us that we are not capable. But God is telling us through the very voice of Jesus that we are not only capable, but that we have access to incalculable power. God is telling us that fear has its place in preserving one's life, but no place when it comes to offering life to others. Every time we hear and answer the call to overcome our fears and doubts and offer Christ to another, we have to recognize that we are in a life and death situation. When we offer Christ, we offer life, and the scripture tells us life more abundantly. Christ has given us power, and not power as this world sometimes exerts its power to do harm, but power to offer life, power to offer love. Power to offer community, power to offer safety, power to offer the greatest gift of all, close and personal relationship with the Most High God. Jesus sends his disciples on a road trip with power. Jesus also sends his disciples with purpose. Jesus says in verse 19, "Go make disciples of all nations." He sends his disciples out with the purpose to serve. Friends, making disciples is service to God. Making disciples requires time, patience, and resources. It is not an easy job. It is not a glamorous job. Some people will not respond kindly to our message, and it is a risky job. We know the risks of offering Christ to others and living in our purpose because we see Jesus invest years with his disciples and Judas still betrayed him. And although the 12 were closest to him, there were other disciples who followed him. And in the days and weeks before the disciples met Jesus on this mountain, some of those disciples turned on Jesus also. When he was feeding the hungry, healing the sick, even raising the dead, he had crowds following him. But when he was on trial, some of those same folks from the crowd were chanting, "Crucify him." Jesus had healed them, fed them, taught them, and advocated for them, and yet many still turned their backs on him. Making disciples is risky business. There are no guaranteed results in the call to make disciples. By the world standards, this work is high risk and low reward. And many of us would rather do work where we can see big returns on our investments of time, energy, and resources. But here's the thing about following Jesus. We may not live to see the benefits of our discipleship. You and I might not experience the radical changes we hope to see in our lifetimes. In times like today, it might even feel like the world is moving backwards. Less people are becoming more understanding. People are becoming less compassionate. People seem to become less loving. But when we look back over the church's lifetime, we find that Jesus' disciples have been making disciples for the transformation of the world and ushering in God's kingdom of God for over 2,000 years. Christ sends his disciples out on the road with a purpose. Finally, Jesus sends his disciples out with his presence. Jesus says, "I will be with you always." In times of crisis, it's natural to wonder if God has forsaken us. I imagine that some of the people of the Bahamas are asking this very question right now. After the devastation of Hurricane Dorian, I imagine the question, "Where is God in all of this?" hangs in the air. But we don't have to go to the Bahamas to hear this question in the hearts of men. Right here, right now, there is someone trying to make sense of the traumatic events of their own life, asking the same question. Where is God in all of this? The disciples were well acquainted with trauma. They had just witnessed the Savior be arrested. Remember, Jesus is returning after his death on the cross and his resurrection. In fact, the disciples had been afraid to come out of their hiding places because of what had happened to Jesus. They were afraid to face the world after seeing what had happened to their rabbi. They likely questioned if they were on the right road and doing the right thing. Sometimes when we are on the journey with Jesus, we will encounter obstacles that make us question if we were ever supposed to set out on the road in the first place. Perhaps you've encountered so many obstacles before you even got out the door on your route to make disciples that you wanted to throw in the towel and give up. But God is telling us that we are on a road trip and that we have everything that we need to continue this journey and reach our destination. When I think about that fateful trip so many years ago, while lost on a dark and winding road in the middle of the night in the midst of a snowstorm, I certainly wanted to turn back around, go home, get in my warm bed, pull up the covers, and try to get home another day by another way. Has anyone ever heard of an airplane? But I thank God that I kept pressing on and praying for God's presence and protection. I'm not sure if I've told any of you this story before, but in our bleakest moments on that road home, I must admit that I felt much like what I believe the disciples felt, afraid and doubtful if we would ever arrive at our destination. The winding and hilly road that we were on was made even more treacherous by the snow and the ice and our total lack of knowledge of where we were. I remember taking the wheel after moments spent at the rest stop. I was unsure and I was frightened. And as we were trying to decide who would take the wheel, one sister said she couldn't do it because the snow falling on the windshield was making her dizzy. Another said that she was too scared to drive the rented minivan because she was not familiar with the vehicle. And so it fell upon me, yours truly, to usher us back onto the road safely. I remember taking that wheel. As I sat behind the wheel, I was as unsure and as frightened as the sister who refused to drive. I remember praying as I never prayed before. God, I don't know if I can do this all by myself. Please give me your power. God, I have precious cargo in this van. Please keep us safe. God, I don't know where we are, but I know where we are going. Please show me the way. As I prayed and drove, there appeared in front of me a truck. Now, I have to add that there were not many vehicles on that one-lane highway that night. So when out of nowhere a truck appeared, I took its presence as an answered prayer. I made up my mind that I would follow that truck and I would follow it wherever it went. I kept my eyes trained on the rear lights of that truck that was in front of me. When the truck sped up, I sped up. When the truck braked, I put my foot on the brake. As the truck turned and slalomed down the windy road, I did exactly as it did. And after several hours, I found myself back at I-95 where we first made the wrong turn. And when I looked up and looked around for the truck that led me there, it was nowhere to be found. It had disappeared into the early morning traffic, but not a moment before getting me back on track. Now, far be it from me to suggest that Jesus was present in the form of a truck, but if it was not Jesus, I don't know who it was. Jesus has promised that he will never leave nor forsake us, that even in our bleakest moments, he will be there. When we want to throw in the towel and give up, he will be there to hold us up with our towel. When nothing seems to be going our way, even there, Jesus is present, because Jesus is not sending us on this road trip alone. Smooth journeys are not promised when you hit the road with Jesus. We might expect that having Jesus' power will make our life stress-free, or that living into our purpose will make our lives uncomplicated, or that enjoying Jesus' presence will make this road easy. But God is telling us that it is not going to be easy, it is not going to be uncomplicated, and it is not going to be stress-free. God is telling us that it is going to be hard, that we are going to sometimes get turned around, and that we are sometimes going to need to call on God, but hit the road anyway. Hit the road in spite of the fear and doubt. Hit the road without your GPS or maps if you're old school. Hit the road with this assurance, because Jesus has traversed this road before us. He has given us the power, purpose, and presence that we need to make disciples of all nations in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Amen.